Our Mother of Covenant. Our Mother of Covenant. Today we celebrate the Nativity, the birth of our Mother of Covenant. We all know that each of us were conceived and born of our mother, and perhaps there's a story with each of us about the birth of our mother. I know for me and my family, that's very rich in tradition and in our family lineage and understanding of where we came from. I can tell you that the birth of my own mother back on June the 13th, 1940, in the hills of southwestern Virginia, just south of Roanoke, in a little holler, as they would call it, down at the home place, as it was known, under the hill, my mother was born, not in a hospital, but in the old home place, delivered not by a nurse or a doctor, but her granny Hartman, the birth of my mother. And then 51 years ago today, a baby girl by the name of Laura Allen was born. Laura would grow up to then marry a man by the name of Tom Vesey, and they would give birth to a beautiful girl named Stephanie, who became the wife of our son Eric, Stephanie Hamrick. And so each of us could relate. Each of us could probably tell the story, relate to these nativities, to these births that form the beginning of who we are as people. And in most cases, they are the result of a union of two families coming together, a husband and a wife coming together. Yesterday, Pam and I were privileged and honored to share in the wedding of a friend of ours, Joshua Brown, who actually used to come to church here with his family prior to us becoming Orthodox. And Josh had invited us to his wedding over in Waynesboro. And weddings are always joyous occasions. And we certainly rejoiced in his holy matrimony to his bride, Jill. But perhaps even more joyous than the wedding itself is the fruit of those unions, the fruit of the union of those coming together of the families and the children that they produce. But just imagine a husband and a wife coming together in holy wedlock, hoping for the fruit of that union in the way of children. And imagine the years going by of trying to conceive, trying to have children, and their efforts are fruitless, their marriage barren. And imagine making it to 50 years of matrimony, never to bear a child. This was the case of Saint Joachim and Saint Anna, the parents of Our Lady, the Blessed Theotokos. For 50 years, this godly couple had asked God for the blessing of a child. Now, a lot of marriages don't even make it to 50 years, but can you imagine being married for 50 years? And this is what happened. Saint Joachim went to the mountains to pray. He had been a man who had devoted himself to God since he was 15 years of age. Tradition tells us that he and Anna had lived on a third of their income, giving away the other two-thirds to the service and ministry of the Lord. But God blessed them. But the blessing of a child had not come forth. And so Joachim, in earnest petition before God, prayed in the hills above his home. And Saint Anna cried out to God at home, asking for the blessing of a child. And so patristic tradition tells us that Saint Gabriel, the archangel, appeared to them both and first to Joachim, saying, "Return, meet your wife Anna at the city gate." And Gabriel the archangel appeared to Anna and said, "Go to the city gate and meet your husband, for God has granted the favor of your petitions." And so in going to the city gate, Joachim and Anna, they embrace. And this is the traditional image that is presented in the icon, the embrace between Joachim, blessed Joachim, and Anna. And shortly thereafter, they, after 50 years of marriage, conceived Mary. Mary the Theotokos, the Ark of God, who would become the Mother of Covenant. We all have genealogies. We all have a pedigree, if you will. And many hope that despite their pedigree, maybe God will do something in their lives. Others who have great pedigrees, perhaps pedigree of nobility and honor, are hoping that in those unions, that perhaps the children will come forth. Maybe a doctor, maybe somebody who will do something to bring about a great cure in the world, a great engineer, perhaps a great priest and theologian. But whatever the case, we all acknowledge the providence of God. And today at the Nativity of the Theotokos of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we also acknowledge that she is the child of covenant, that she, like each of us, possesses an inheritance of promise. The gospel lesson this morning comes from the very beginning of the Gospels, the very beginning of St. Matthew. And we can look at this, we can look at a lot of these names, and a lot of them are hard names to pronounce. And we think, what in the world, why in the world did Matthew begin his gospel with this long genealogy? Well, Matthew is intentionally placed at the very first of the Gospels to signify the continuation of covenant between the Old Testament and the New. This is the beginning of the New Covenant, the New Testament, the testament of all that the Old Testament had pointed to. And we read here a genealogy, supposedly the genealogy of Joseph, because it continues down all the way from verse 1 of Matthew chapter 1 to the 16th chapter, when it says, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Now we can certainly accept this, as Matthew has indicated, as a genealogy of Joseph. But why has this been selected for the Nativity of the Theotokos, of the Blessed Virgin Mary? Well, we know that Mary became espoused to her husband. And under Jewish law, she became legally a part of his genealogy. Now what we see here in this genealogy is from Abraham on down through to David. From David we begin to see the royal line. So this genealogy is expressed in terms of kings, of a royal line, all the way down to Joseph. But what about Mary? It's her nativity, her birth, that we celebrate today. And what about this Joachim and Anna? You won't find, at least obviously, their names in the Bible. So where do we get this patristic tradition, this sacred tradition about the story of Joachim and Anna? Well, the answer is, it comes from, primarily from a book that was known as the Gospel of James. Now, the Gospel of James did not make it into the canon of Scripture. But the church fathers realized that just because a book was not received as canonical, as authoritative, they recognized that certainly within some of those books there were writings that expressed accurate sacred tradition. And part of that was the story of Blessed Joachim and Anna and the conception of Our Lady and the birth of the Theotokos. But I want us to consider a place where Joachim does appear somewhat, but not quite obvious. It's not quite obvious. It's in another genealogy, and it's the genealogy from St. Luke. St. Luke, in the third chapter, beginning at verse 23, says, "Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as well was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli." Now this says the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. But if we go back to the genealogy in Matthew, it said that the son of Joseph was Jacob. Jacob, according to Matthew, was the father of Joseph. But according to St. Luke, Heli was the father of Joseph. And I can tell you that critics throughout the ages have pointed to these inconsistencies and genealogies to say, there you go. There you go. They can't even agree on this genealogy. There's inconsistencies, and therefore the Bible must be full of all kinds of inaccuracies, and we can't trust it. But here is the reality. In Luke's genealogy, the man Heli is an abbreviated name for Elikana, which was, in essence, a different term for Joachim. So Heli is Joachim. So what we're seeing here in Luke's gospel is the genealogy, not per se of Joseph, but it's the genealogy of Our Lady, the Blessed Theotokos. And in contrast to Joseph's genealogy, which shows royal lineage, and it had to show royal lineage because all the prophets had foretold that the Messiah would be descended from David. It would be a royal line. But what we see here in the genealogy of Our Lady is that it's not only a royal line, but from David on, what we see is the priestly line. It is the priestly line. And so we have in Jesus' pedigree coming together the royal line, the king, the Messiah, the son of David, coming together with the Messiah who would also be the great high priest. Our mother of covenant. We celebrate today the nativity, the beginning, the church says, the beginning of our salvation and the appearing of Mary, the Theotokos. And the Orthodox Church does not teach the Immaculate Conception. Rather, they understand that Mary, just like all of humanity, needed a Savior. She too was born under the curse of Adam, but she was preserved. She was preserved as the spotless bride of our Lord. And so much in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, points to this event, points to the coming of Mary as the mother of the covenant, the mother who would bring to the world our salvation. The Ark of the Covenant, in the Old Covenant, for instance, was placed in God's command inside the tabernacle, and inside the Ark of that Old Covenant contained, if you remembered, it was the rod of Aaron, the budding rod of Aaron. It was a jar of manna, and it was the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And so Mary becomes the new ark. The new ark. It would be she who bore the great high priest, the bread of heaven, him who would become the fulfillment of the law. Mary would contain what the whole world could not contain, what the whole universe could not contain. She would become the ark of salvation. And so today we celebrate the glorious nativity of the Mother of Covenant. And turning to Galatians chapter 4, St. Paul presents an allegory of two covenants. This is the Galatians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 21. He says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children." St. Paul here is using this allegorically. We know that Hagar was conceived by Abraham's handmaid. He took matters in his own hands instead of waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises. Abraham and Sarah, just like Joachim and Anna, had been barren. But Paul is using this metaphor to talk about two covenants. He's talking about those who continue to hold to the old covenant, the covenant of the law in Jerusalem, the covenant of the Jews. But he's saying a greater, better covenant, the covenant of promise. The old covenant, that's the covenant of Hagar, is he saying. But you see, what he's saying is that the new covenant through Isaac, by Sarah, would be the covenant of promise. And so from Paul, St. Paul's allegory, we clearly see Sarah as a type of Mary, as a type of the Theotokos. And this is confirmed by the church fathers. But listen to what he says in reference to this in verse 26. "But the Jerusalem above," that is the Jerusalem of the new covenant, which is the church, "but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, 'Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise.'" We're children of promise. Because we have been birthed, we have been begotten within the new covenant, by way of our baptism, by way of our chrismation and entry into the church, we have been joined to this covenant of promise. And as a result, we have become children of Mary, the mother of the church, the mother of covenant. And so today we rejoice. We rejoice in the fulfillment of God's promises. We rejoice in the beginning of our salvation, as we rejoice in the appearing of Our Lady, the Theotokos. And so the church hymns and sings, "Today from the stem of Jesse and from the lines of David, the handmaid of God, Mary, is being born for us. Therefore, all creation is renewed and rejoices. Heaven and earth rejoice together. Praise her, you families of nations. For Joachim rejoices and Anna celebrates, crying out, 'The barren one gives birth to the Theotokos, the nourisher of our life.' Today, the virgin Theotokos Mary, the bridal chamber of the heavenly bridegroom, by the will of God is born of a barren woman, being prepared as the chariot of God the Word. She was foreordained for this, since she is the divine gate and the true mother of life. Let us give thanks and rejoice for our mother of life, for she who brought salvation into the world. Let us rejoice in the mother, in our mother of covenant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.